Answer the damn phone. Answer the damn phone.
We're big ROI guys, right? If there's something that you said, hey, if you do this one thing, you're going to increase your ROI by 50%. You're going to increase your effectiveness by 50%. Like, you would do it without question. You wouldn't even like take it any further. You'd be like, hell yeah, sign me up. So yeah. Answer the phone. You just increased your conversion by 50%. Here's a stat that might surprise you. Roughly 50% of borrowers end up working with the first loan officer that actually talks to them. Not the lowest rate, not the best marketing, the first one who answers the phone. Today we're talking about the massive advantage of being the first to respond and why speed might be the most underrated strategy in mortgage. I'm Robert Filiaw. Tom Mills is with me. This is Lending Leadership with the Mortgage Pros. Welcome, Tom.
Thanks, Robert. Interesting, the speed to lead conversation.
Speed to lead. It rules everything, right? But did, like, even if someone is shopping, right? If they're out there, they're making multiple calls, it's still over 50% of customers end up going with the first person that they spoke with. That's crazy.
Yeah, to have your opportunity go down by half once you talk to that person it's an uphill battle from there, right?
No doubt. I mean, I don't think we're big ROI guys, right? If there's something that you said, hey, if you do this one thing, you're going to increase your ROI by 50%. You're going to increase your effectiveness by 50%. Like, you would do it without question. You wouldn't even like take it any further. You'd be like, hell yeah, sign me up. So yeah. Answer the phone. You just increased your conversion by 50%.
Before we go deeper, why do you think that is?
That's a great question. I think it's probably something in the psychology of being that first conversation. Like, you become the anchor for the transaction. You're then kind of the bar that everything else is measured against. You get to set that tone, and like, now everybody is competing and comparing to you.
Yeah. I think it's probably different per customers. A lot of customers don't want to shop. Like, you know, yes. You think a lot of people are just hoping to get approved, and you take your time with them, spend the time and walk them through, and they learn something, you know, you're winning. You know, that person was scared to get approved. They don't like having their credit run. They're conservative. They, you know, or they've had credit issues, whatever the case may be. You know, I think that they don't want to shop. It seems daunting or exhausting, I think, to a lot.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think that's probably very true. So that whole different line of thought, right? But that even takes it more important, not just the answer, but the how you answer and what your, you know, what your borrower conversation looks like and what your follow. That's a whole different topic, right? I don't want to get off topic. But yeah, I mean, I see it all the time when we would help clients with homeowners insurance. And I'd be like, you need to call and get some homeowners insurance quotes. And this like deer in the headlight glaze came over their eyes. So we started getting those quotes on their behalf, right? We'd reach out to a couple of insurance agents and get that. Mortgage shopping is the same way for a lot of them. Like, they don't want to do it. It's not comfortable. They don't know. They're out of their element. They're out of their depth. They don't have the financial literacy. So if you're that first person that answers and you make them feel comfortable and you get them approved, to your point, and the numbers are in line with what they're looking for, like, then it's a task to take it further, right, and to shop more.
I don't think the consumer really knows how to shop. And I mean, I think that they tried to create the new LE years ago, and that's what it was intended to do. I think it actually created more confusion. But it's tough because, I mean, the customer knows one thing to ask. That is,
what's my rate? What's exactly the interest rate?
Everybody knows that, right? So, you know, when you shop, if all you're asking is what's your rate, you don't know how to shop, you know, and that's a bad way to kind of start. I think it's that, you know, I think the people that convert high are those people that customer comes in and they ask questions, they understand, they move the customer towards why they're asking those questions. And, you know, the customer gains a level of appreciation and feels comfortable over that. I also think part of the reason that it's 50% is, you know, a lot of referral partners give out, you know, 1, 2, 3 names. And I think the customer's thing is, if I'm going to call this, I'm going to get on the phone now. You know, right. These three names mean nothing to me. You know, these are who I was told to call. This person didn't answer. I called this person. This person didn't answer. It's the third person there. Unless the you know, agent gave them I've called this one first. They just kind of picked one first.
Yeah.
So it's a random draw, really, too.
Yeah. There's some psychology to it also. I'm convinced of this, even though I don't have any data to back it up, that it's a feeling of security, right? When you call and that person answers, you get the sense and the feel as a client doing something that you're not comfortable with, out of your depth, that they're going to be able to better guide me through this transaction than the person that I called that didn't answer, because mm-hmm. they're going to be available when and if I need them. If mm-hmm. something, you know, if I have a question, if I'm nervous, I can pick up the phone and they're going to be there. They're like my whoopee through this transaction. It's a trust mm-hmm. advantage.
How important, you know, whether you miss that first call and get that customer on the line, you know, sooner or not, I think is dependent on how the agent like introduced you, you know. So if they give three cards and they're like, hey, I would try to reach Robert, you know, most of my customers work with Robert. Robert's the best person in the market. And, you know, I've sent many people there, you know, three cards and they've shopped and everybody comes back and they love working with Robert. I have a great experience and always get to the closing table in the end. I would start there, you know, and if he doesn't get back to you in a reasonable amount of time, then move on. I think so. You know, if you think about it, just, you know, and top originators and top agents, they script this stuff together. They're in Absolutely. Sync, you know, and, you know, the top agents know that they can't be so passive when it comes to that. You know, who'd you get pre-approved with? Oh, my online bank. You're going to talk to my person. You know, yeah. I'm one of the best agents in the market for many reasons. I work with the best lenders and I need to make sure that, you know, you're going to be well represented, you know, and then that shift happens there. But there's a lot that you can do with controlling what kind of conversations you're having with your referral partners about how they refer you.
Yeah. And that just sets the tone out of the gate, right? That's why we keep going back to, it's got to be relational with your referral partners. You have to be on a level where you can do some role playing with them, do some scripting, position them to be comfortable in the way that they position you. And then it's quid pro quo. You're going to give it right back to them, right? When that borrower calls, oh my God, you're working with Sally. She's amazing. You're in such great hands. I'm so glad you're working with her. Easily one of my favorite realtors to deal with. Mm-hmm. So it really becomes a symbiotic relationship, right? Where you're helping each other. And when you can bridge that gap with your referral partner and they refer you in that manner that you're talking about,
yeah,
the battle's like, it's over. Like, and mm-hmm. then you answer the phone. I would say that conversion shoots up probably in somewhere in the high 80s, low 90s, right? Like, you're so sold before you ever even talk to the client, you can't mm-hmm. help but win the deal.
Yeah. If you think about it, you know, I can go back and check the statistic too. We also have our app is shareable by the realtor. So sometimes you actually don't get a phone call. You get an application. I bet you that's the highest converting application in the market, because
without a doubt. It was
referred. They sent them the link to your application. Then they went through the application. They put in personal information. Many of them logged into their payroll and their bank account so that we can make a seamless transaction for them. Now they're really vested. Now it just wasn't like a conversation. It's like I've uploaded my documents. I've linked my bank accounts. Like, I'm in this hub now where we can do business. And I think that customers look for that. And I think it increases the conversions.
I agree 100%. And for that client, like, they're in it before they, like, they're past the point of no return before they even realize it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and then it's just the process and it's just the flow and it's just, oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. And there's never a chance really to raise an objection and to say no. There's never an off ramp, which makes it really easy to convert.
You're right. Just keep it moving.
And, you know, one thing I think there's a misperception of, I think we think these customers are, you know, shopping comparison, like with a spreadsheet of 5 and 6 agent lenders, and they're bow out, doing
all this stuff. Customer. Just
bow out. Man. Yes, absolutely bow out. If you got that client,
I've done that. I'd be like, look, with all due respect, I'm not
your guy.
Spreadsheet. I'll just bow out now.
Yeah.
But the reality is the majority of clients, you know, maybe contact 2 to 3, and they really only get serious with 1 or 2. So like if you can get to that serious stage, so you're saying things are getting serious, you know, you got a pretty good chance of winning a deal.
Well, you know, shopping, if you're just, you know, really when they're getting referred, usually they want one thing. They want the letter, you know, they want the letter so they can go do what they want to do. You know, shopping really doesn't make a lot of sense early on. We don't have a property. You're getting your credit pulled for what? A bunch of quotes that don't mean anything tomorrow, you know, and from lenders that know that that quote doesn't mean anything tomorrow, you know, and then you're, you know, open yourself up to, you know, less truth. I think, you know, the good transaction, the easiest transaction for the customer is deal with somebody, you know, hope what you have to do as an originator is while that person's in that shopping phase, you have to win them. They have to know why I want to do business with them. You can't not give them service and communication. And then when they go to shop you, when you get a contract, tell them about the great service and communication you give. You've already had that ability for 90 days or 60 days.
You've already lost that.
Show it. Like, why show it now when it's under contract? But the customer, I mean, as long as you keep them informed and you offer what seems to be a competitive rate, you know, they go with you. I think that that's the window that they should actually shop. If they're like, man, Robert hasn't been a great communicator, I'm not so certain about this rate, I've seen better online, you know, that's when they should shop in reality.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. It's amazing to me, you know, this goes back to one of the segments we did a little bit ago on the team phone and the team email to make sure everything just keeps moving.
I would
be interested to see this, the statistic of the deals that are lost just because someone didn't answer the phone the first time, you know what I mean? Or didn't get back fast enough. Like we say 50% go with the first person that answers. That means 50% are losing it, right? If we reverse math it. So, you know, when you're busy in a meeting or you send something to voicemail or you let someone else get in there, like that's a massive number. And how many loan officers are out there being busy, right? And they're working on putting that file together and they don't answer their phone because they don't want to be distracted. And now it's that lead and you're trying to chase it from there. Answer the damn phone. Answer the damn phone.
Yeah, when we talk about answer the damn phone, you know, there's things you can do obviously to ensure that. You know, we should probably talk about systems that loan officers can put in place to make sure that the phone gets answered. Because, you know, if you're an external originator and you're self-generate 100% of your business, you're not always there. You shouldn't always be sitting at your desk ready to answer your phone. You should be doing things on the phone with people or out and about, you know, engaging. So let's talk about some of those systems.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to the segment we did, you know, on the team phone, the team email. You've got to replicate yourself, right? You, as your business grows, you can't be a one-man band. So you've got to have a team phone system. You've got to do some call routing. You've got to train your team members or your assistants who are covering calls, even if it's an answering service at first, on how to take that call and what the response expectations and service standards are. Like, this is not something that you can haphazard. And I think a lot of loan officers out there, they don't plan for this. They don't have a process or system. They go off the cuff. And then when it breaks or it goes sideways and, you know, they've been buried all day and they have 43 phone calls to return at the end of the day. And 6 of the people were new leads and they are now engaged with Rocket and don't want to talk to you. It's because you don't have a system. It's because you don't have a process. You're flying by the seat of your pants and you're crashing and burning.
I agree. I know, you know, a lot of AI based systems are out there to help people now. And, you know, we've used, you know, team phone lines and that's a massive, you know, tool. We did a recent podcast on that. You know, there's backup answering services. I mean, but when you're just the originator, it doesn't have a team. So when you step away, it's not like, you know, somebody else is plugged into your line, you know, you've got to look at what do you have in place? You know, what's your voicemail say? How recently has that been updated? Are you, is there anybody you're able to forward calls to during a time that you're out of commission from 1 to 3, not able to answer the phone? You know, I think there's a lot of little things you can do at the early stage of your career, because let's be real, like, that's when you can least afford to lose it, and you have less resources available to you to solve the problem.
Yep. Well, and if you're that single originator out there, this is what I would challenge you, right? Your business hour time should be spent engaged with clients and or referral partners. And what I mean by that is those business hours, when you have inbound calls coming in, that's not when you structure your loans and you put them together. That's not when you do file submissions. I used to stack my loans, and I would stack them for a day or two, and I would come in at 4 o'clock in the morning and push all of my files in at one time. And I could get more done from that 4 to 8:30 window. I could get everything for a week done in that 4.5 hours because the phone's not ringing. I'm not being distracted. Totally. And oh, by the way, during the business hours, I didn't have to worry about that stuff. And I could focus on answering the phone and capturing the leads coming in.
Get it done in half the time.
Yeah. So if you're not doing something to that effect, if you're not working around that, and you are a single operator, you're probably missing the boat a little bit. I would challenge you guys to think about that and work around that aspect of it. That's where your system starts. Like, that's a process.
Yeah. And when you're a single producing loan officer trying to grow, you know, this is not a 40-hour, you know, work week. So, you know, you build those 8 hours, those core hours, into income producing activities largely. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's, you know, those after hours, those morning hours, those get back on at 10 o'clock. That's the times that are great to get the busy work done.
That's the biz grind. And people, I think the other thing, I talk about this a lot, I think people overestimate the response. And what I mean by that is answering the phone out of the gate is super important. Like, it's probably one of the most important things you can do. Once you do that, you can set the expectations and buy yourself a little bit of time to work through the response. Not everything has to be immediate. Answering the phone needs to be immediate. But if you answer the phone with that client and get their information, or maybe pivot them to the app to get their information in, you can set that expectation that, hey, I'm so excited to work with you. Once I get your stuff, it's going to take me a few hours. It may be tomorrow morning before I can get back to you with some estimates. Does that work into your timeline? Or is there anything I need to be aware of that I would need to expedite this? What that does now is you don't have to stop and run that prequal. Mm-hmm. You can answer the phone when more leads are coming in, and you can do that prequal at night when the phone stops ringing. Right.
It could be Monday, and you could be Monday, and you get that thing, and you're putting it together. You spend the next hour and a half. There's a little hurdle. You're trying to run it through dual AUS, looking at different guidelines. And that could have been a customer that you said, hey, when's a good time to go over this? And they would have been like, you know, I'm busy today and tomorrow. Thursday would be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
you just spent an hour and a half in your core time. So, yeah, that's simple, little, effective simple time stuff. Management. And it does all that simple, effective. It's a lot of little things that add up to your ability to answer the phone.
And even if you're working towards that, the other thing I would challenge you, right? Because if the phone's not ringing, I don't expect you to sit there twiddling your thumbs waiting for the phone to ring. Like, start working on the phone.
Make it ring,
right?
Make it ring.
Make it ring, absolutely. But that what I see so many loan officers do, if you're working on something, right, and it's during those business hours when the phone may be ringing, and the phone rings, answer the phone. Mm-hmm. Unless you're in front of someone, answer the phone. That's really what it all comes back to for me. So we built the systems, we got the processes in place, your phone's ringing, and now you're answering it on the first call. Oh, what do you do then? Like, what's the next steps?
Well, first impressions are everything, I think. In sales and life, you know, if you don't make a good first impression, that guy that didn't get the first talk, now he's got an opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, you open the door. I wouldn't know what percentages or how to compute this, but fact is you can open the door to getting shopped then, or you can close the door to getting shopped then. Not throughout the whole journey. Not to say you won't get shopped at some point, but you know, that first call really well, they're not jumping right on to the next and going through that. That's what I do know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have to establish trust and really establish yourself as the authority, and you got to do this quickly, right? So, like, I always like to build a little bit of rapport, find out a little bit about them. You can't be corny with it, right? I just went through, I'm in the middle of shopping for cars for my kids, and some of these, like, I can see it a mile away, some of the tactics that these salesmen are trying to do to build rapport, it's fake and it's corny. Like, you have to be genuine and sincere, right? But I mean, there's some questions that you can ask that you need to know anyway. You know, what's got you looking to purchase a home? Like things like that. Open-ended questions are your friend. Don't ask, for those who may not know, an open-ended question is a question that can't be answered by yes or no, right? Mm-hmm. So it would be, what's got you looking to purchase a home? You can't answer that with yes or no. You got to tell me about it, right?
What's your biggest concern as you enter, you know, this phase of home shopping? What are you concerned about?
Yeah. What are you concerned about? You know what? Yeah. So you start building the rapport through that. I always like to give kind of a high level overview. You know, you're in great hands. Here's what we're going to do to take care of you. This is how the process usually works. We do this every day. And we underestimate the uncomfortableness that our clients have with it. So when you can give them a roadmap and kind of let them know what it's going to look and feel like, and that you're going to be there and walk them through the whole thing, you just took so much of their insecurity away and set yourself up as the expert. It's a powerful, powerful part of it. Our producer's telling me I'm supposed to give some examples of what the corny stuff that these car salesmen were trying to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just asking fake questions. It's, you know, hey buddy, you're like the whole buddy pal thing, right? Like I got called buddy more times on Saturday than probably the entirety of my life put together. And then it's at like, you know, hey, what's your hobbies? You don't care about my hobbies. Like, why are you asking me about my hobbies? I'm trying to buy a car. My hobbies have nothing to do with the car I'm trying to buy. And it's just fake. It's insincere. We're not going to be buddies. Like, are we about to become best friends? Like, what mm-hmm. are we talking about? Now, ask me things relative, right? Like, if you're saying, I'm already telling you what kind of car that I want. Like, if I could see it, if I come in, I'm like, hey, I think I want a new car, but I'm not sure. Then you say, oh, well, are you going to be pulling a boat? You know, or do you need trunk room for golf clubs? Like, maybe it's relevant then, but I've already told you what kind of car I want. So my hobby is kind of irrelevant. That kind of stuff is fake. Don't do it.
Yeah, I think a lot of the small talk and rapport building, like if you do your phone apps, it's, you know, the whole application itself should be in conversation, not in, you know, next question. And there should be your questions of, oh yeah, I know that area. And I visited there once, or, you know, whatever you can do to relate there and find other ways to start, you know, moving it to more of a conversation than just a question, you know, based application process, which is boring. And, you know, you get, you know, the customer's just like waiting to get through.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, that's where the experience comes in, right? Cause you can tell the people that just want to bam, bam, bam. And you can tell the people that want to be a little bit more conversational, and you've got to tailor your give and go, your flow with your client. Right.
Yeah.
So that's where the at-bats come in handy.
Yeah. I think, you know, that the more time they spend with you, the more inclined they are to buy with you. I think that there's certain, you know, I'm not saying
absolutely
have overly lengthy customer consultations and whatnot. However, there needs to be some thoroughness to it, to where they aren't just jumping on the phone with the next person in 2 minutes and, you know, and getting another rate spit out at them.
Yeah. That first call, like if you're doing a true, you know, let me get your information. Let me find out what you're doing. Let's really get the pieces of the puzzle to qualify you. That first call needs to be 15, 20 minutes at least.
Mm-hmm.
Like get some time invested.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, there's not enough great questions asked at the application that really open things up. I think, you know, that asking the right questions, seeking to solve, having that, you know, I'm here to serve you mindset. And then, you know, find an opportunity to educate them based upon the questions that you ask. And, you know, and I think also, you know, set that's a good opportunity. Like, it's a good, it's okay to have a sales pitch about you and your team. And hey, Robert, let me tell you a little bit about me and my team and what it's going to be like to work with us throughout this process and some things that you can count on, you know, and that's your sales opportunity. And sell your process, sell how you communicate, sell who you are in the market, sell how your pre-approval letter carries weight because you're one of the top producers in the market and all the agents know who you are. You know, all those things are really important aspects that if you're not taking those opportunities, you know, selling how you answer the phone, selling how, you know, how you'll be in front of their communication, you're honest. You know, there's a lot of things there that, you know, that the customer's looking to hear and feel like, oh, I feel comfortable with this person. I can put some trust in them. I think that's a great opportunity.
Absolutely. And it all goes back to the simplest way to win more loans is answering the phone, being the first one. That speed and responsiveness give you the competitive advantage that you can't replicate. There's no other place that no other way to replicate it, right? So great stuff, Millsy. Really great stuff.
So script your realtors, you know, talk to them about how they introduce you, how they refer you, see how you can strengthen that, shore that up. Yeah, you know, maybe
have a planned system and process in place for how you're going to answer the phone, what it's going to look like, what the conversation's going to cover, what script some of that conversation with your team. Make sure you have a contingency plan so calls don't go unanswered.
And then make a great first impression.
Be the expert. Build trust and rapport. Ask good open-ended questions. You'll see your business grow, I guarantee. So
good deal. So the moral of the story was answer the phone, I think I heard.
Answer the damn phone. Mm-hmm. When you're the first person to engage, you're probably leading the pack and you're going to have a higher chance of winning it. Great stuff, man. Thanks as always, guys. Everyone out there listening, if you have any suggestions, maybe you think we're wrong. I would love for someone to challenge us and us get into a conversation about it. If you have cool stories about where answering the phone won you a deal, we want to hear those too. Hit us up, give us some feedback. As always, go ahead and hit that subscribe and smash that like button. For the Lending Leadership with the Mortgage Pros, I'm Robert Filioff and Tom Mills. Thanks so much for joining us.